Jesus Christ is the name above all names. And the shadows can't deny you. Nothing can stop you. Your name reigns around the world, Lord. And we come in line with your purposes and your plans. We bend our hearts and our knees to you, Lord Jesus, the King of all the universe. You're amazing, King Jesus. You're amazing. You're magnificent. You're wonderful, Lord. We can't stop singing about you, loving you, speaking about you. Your name rolls off of our lips. Lord, our worship to you is from the depths of our heart because you're worthy, oh Jesus. All things are from you, by you, through you, to you, God. Open our eyes, God. Touch us in the deepest places, Lord. Let heaven come into our midst more. You're so wonderful. Thank you, Lord, for the perspective, the kingdom perspective for the nations, Lord. Let it grow in our hearts. Let it manifest. Let it develop deep roots that will remain. They grow deeper and deeper and deeper, and they intertwine with each other, God. So the unity of the Spirit is true unity, not based on anything other than you, God. Let it be, let it be, let it be. We just say faith is in this house today. Selah, pause, and peace is in this house. Shalom is in this house today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that we move forward in line with you. We follow you. You're the leader. Thank you for your fire, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for yet stirring us up yet again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We had some worship warring, crazy missionaries, hungry hippos in our house this weekend. I'm going to just ask somebody from the mission teams, one of them, Ghana or Mozambique, to come and just share something from your heart. It's not a report. It's more of a testimony of the fire of God. Last night was an outpouring, so strong, so big. So whoever was here last night in the midst of that, if there's someone who's just burning inside, who just wants to share what Jesus did so that we can all link arms with that and just say, wow, King Jesus, you're amazing. I know you're just jumping for this right now, so it's just somebody who wants you. Haley, okay. Okay, fireball.
It was a very challenging weekend, but in a really good way. It was just how to go lower and how to have just, I mean, the phrase that we always, more of God and less of us, but it was just such an intense of it was just so much deeper and more intense than I think I've really experienced maybe ever. I don't know. It was just very challenging and very good. I don't know what else to say. Last night we had a great time of fire. We all came together. We listened to a Reinhard Bonnke clip for like a half hour or so, and it was really, I really had the fire, and then we came together and prayed together as a team, and it was totally awesome. Jesus was there.
Well, I was excited last night because I saw a picture of our team as horses, like pulling a cart, and I felt like God was saying that what we received this weekend is something new, and it's something that he wants us to push into Mozambique and bring with us, and that is very exciting to me. I don't know everything, but I know that the freshness we received and the outpouring we received and the power we received from God, he just wants to rock Mozambique with it.
Thank you. I didn't share this during the weekend, but yeah, last night we had a circle up here, and we were just praying together and just enjoying the Holy Spirit. And I saw a vision, or I saw a picture in my mind's eye, and what I thought it was a vine that was growing on a wall, and it was starting to bud and all that. But then I looked at it closer, and I realized it was really an aerial view of like a desert, and it was a river going in the center of it. And in that river, there was trees and there was bushes that were growing from it. And I asked God what that meant, and he reminded me every day when I would drive home from work, there was a building in downtown Canton that was completely overgrown. It was dilapidated, it was abandoned, but it had all these vines on it. And eventually the vines and it overcame it, and it weakened the structure, and it's fallen down, it's torn down. And you know, God was speaking to me that, you know, he is the true vine. He's the vine that gives us the source, that he's the one that gives us the energy and gives us the power to go out. You know, he sends us out, and we are the branches that shoot off from that vine. And so last night, I believe that in our lives and also in the countries, Mozambique and Ghana, that even last night was a tearing down of that stronghold, those structures that are dilapidated, that aren't supposed to be there, clearing the path. And then for the picture of the river going through, you know, it was incredible to see the difference, the change that was happening in that desert place, where there was no life, where there was just nothing existing. There was that river going through, and it was creating new life, and it was turning the environment, it was turning the landscape into what it was supposed to be, where there is life, where there is beauty. And that's for each one of our lives, but also, you know, as we come together as a team, as a family here, to go out, to step out in faith, and to share God's love, and to see what he wants to do and how he wants to use us.
One of the things that's been really challenging this weekend is this. It seems like there's something on the Lord's heart, and it begins with hum and ends with illity, which is humility or humility. But it's just that the Lord continually bringing home that message, and last night there was a really powerful, challenging message from Jamie of Holy Spirit. What are you really? What are you speaking to? What are you awakening? And she talked about gratitude and thankfulness, and what the Lord was bringing to light is that our gratitude is entirely dependent upon our perspective. Because if we're not seeing the Lord's heart, we're not seeing what he's really doing, then we're missing out on the picture of what he wants to paint for us. And our natural response is Jordan, he can probably share it better than I can, because it's his revelation, wherever you're at, Jordan. He had a one-liner quote that just dropped last night that I really just, you know what it is, don't you? About gratitude, yes. Yeah, there you
go. So the definition for me for thankfulness and gratitude was the inevitable outcome of the beholder of those who have a true and revelatory encounter with God. And we're the beholders, the children of God. So the definition of gratitude and thankfulness to me, when I was asking God about it, was that it's the inevitable state of the beholder of those who have a true and revelatory encounter with God.
So a person's natural response to an encounter with Jesus is, wow, you're amazing. Thank you. And a new perspective is released that changes everything. And it was so encouraging, because the Lord's saying, hey, look at me. And as you look at me, the things that are problems and issues and things that you're dealing and struggling with in your life, I'm going to take care of those, because you're encountering me and there's a place of gratitude. But it's humility that allows another perspective to be painted for us, instead of bitterness or anger or complaining or frustration or any of those things. And just had a real sense last night as the fire was released, the fire was cleansing off of us false mindsets, you know, complaining mindsets, things that would be limiting mindsets, because the Lord is building something unique, and that was just, again, refreshed over this weekend. And I know that I've shared this before, and it's not like it's not, the Lord just showed me this picture, it's not like it's beating a dead horse, because there's times in here where we can literally continually hear about the goodness of God and it being released and all these amazing things that he's doing, and sometimes it can just go like sailing right over our head. So the Lord is reminding and refreshing me, and he's taken me back to it several, multiple times, is that here we have land in the four corners of the earth. Mozambique, Brazil, somewhat India's coming. We have it, you know, here in the U.S. Lord's establishing and doing these things. We have land, we have visions, we have all these things. And we look around, and this is a small group. How's this all going to happen? And what are we doing? And then the busyness of life can come in, and it can rob and steal and paint a different picture of what the Lord's doing and releasing. And the Lord reminds me of Noah. He said, Noah, build an ark. Obey me. Noah's like, why am I building an ark? Because it's going to rain. What's rain? I don't know. So can you imagine Noah interacting with people like, what are you doing, Noah? Well, I'm obeying the voice of the Lord. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm building this ark, this boat. What's that for? Well, I'm building this for when it rains. And they say, well, what's rain? And Noah says, I don't know. I have no idea what rain is. But I'm here, and I'm hearing God, so I'm building this thing, and I don't know what. They're going to walk away like, that guy's crazy. He's not doing it the way that the world would do it. They would have like a 10-point plan of how it's going to break down, and this is why we're doing this, and then it's going to follow this step and this step and this step, and then it's all going to line up. The Lord was reminding me last night, when we're developing and building land in Ghana and Mozambique and all, we're building the ark. What's it look like? I don't know. How's it going to happen? I don't know. What are we preparing for? I don't know, but something's coming. And when that glory comes and is poured out, it's going to lift up, just like the floodwaters. It's going to lift up in that ark, carrying the Lord's presence, people, safety, protection. It's going to navigate the waters where the world's going to look at it like it's a storm, like it's the wiping out of their entire way of life and system. The Lord's just impacting that to me right now. You guys hear that? When the Lord's glory and his kingdom rules in, the world is going to view that as it literally destroying their way of life and system. God's glory is rolling in like a flood, and it's going to destroy the world system. And people aren't going to like that. Let's just have a natural, Lord, you're so funny, just a natural experience, a natural example. If you're at a company, and Lauren's talked about someone, and everything's going great, nobody complains. But all of a sudden, if new leadership comes in, or new management comes in, or somebody else buys the company, hey, we're going to change all these things. What are all those people in that company? Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm happy with the way things are. I'm happy with the way that things have been going. But now there's a whole, and so what do they begin to do? They begin to complain, murmur, oh, this isn't going to work. All natural human responses. But the Lord's positioned us here. What's it going to look like? I have no idea. But he's positioned us here to ride the ark of his presence, to release his kingdom in the earth. And it's going to destroy the world's ways and systems of doing things. But that's how his kingdom is established. Now imagine the people that are going to come under the umbrella of God's kingdom. Because this isn't an ark to close people out. It's an open door policy. Come on in. Come on in to the place of safety and protection. And there's going to be a cost to get into that place. There's going to be that humbling and that humility of like, I need to go low through that door to enter into that next thing that the Lord has for us. So this weekend, it's like he's like, the only picture I can describe it, it's like he's releasing eye salve that's kind of like making blurry things a little bit more clear. But we still don't fully understand it. But I know that the Lord is releasing his kingdom through us, and it's destroying the world's system and the world's ways of doing things. And on Friday night, we had an opportunity at First Friday to do that, and there was a ton of people made it out. It was awesome. And there were so many cool things that the Lord was releasing and doing down there. And it was interesting, a little bit of the weather came, and we actually had one spot that we were supposed to be set up, and it was further down that road. But then when we showed up, there was somebody in our spot. And then one of the guys kind of felt bad because he set up in our spot. So he helped us set up closer down to the road, which was great because then more and more people began to come in that area. And we kind of had just a big open area next to us where if we would have been at the other space, it would have been a little bit more limited. So we had people in the tent, out of the tent. Let that be a picture for you. But so we're there. And there was just such a synergy and a grace and a love in the Spirit that people were just drawn into. And it was so cool. And you know, we had some, I can encourage you guys, we had some of the younger people down there. You know, Isaac and Levi came out and Gabriel was down there. And Bella and Eliana. And we have some pictures. And so it was still, you know, for lack of a better word, there were still baby steps of like, oh, I don't know if I, you know, have something to draw for somebody or not. But that doesn't necessarily matter. They're there and they're down there. Bella and Ellie got to practice on Pastor Bill. So we got some pictures there of them just, you know. And that's awesome because they're stepping out in that place, that creative place, which is really, really cool with the background of the computer. But isn't that precious? So there's a real grace down there of just the Lord's presence. And there were so many people that were touched and impacted. And one of the things, that I believe there's another one too of Isaac. Levi, I don't know if he specifically drew for somebody, but he was right there with Troy. He was modeling. And I don't want to steal like Jamie's thunder, but Jamie was sharing a little bit last night about how Gabriel was just, there were things that he was expressing, and now actually she'll do a better job of explaining it than me. Okay. Just basically, long story short, Gabriel saw Jamie and Mike's example, and Jamie was sharing how much it encouraged and blessed her that here is her son, not perfectly, but just putting it out there. Hey, I forgot to draw a picture for First Friday. You know, riding in the car. And they're like, well, okay, what? But he's like, well, I got to draw a picture of Jesus for First Friday, but I don't think I can because they don't have crayons. And they're like, actually, we do have crayons down there. That's how we draw our pictures. So he came down, and he was able, and there were these people that Jamie was drawing for, and they're sitting right next to, and Mike is sharing the gospel somewhat or whatever, and Gabriel says, and Jesus died. And then it didn't quite go beyond that. So where's Jesus now? Jesus is dead. Well, no, he's alive. There's a little bit added more to that. You know, and obviously they got to step into that. But it was so cool because right here, you know, Jamie and Mike stepping out, it's being modeled for Gabriel to step right into it. And it wasn't like, hey, here's a picture, draw it right now. But you're in the atmosphere where the Lord is releasing his heart. And it's so amazing because the Lord just increases those things. Yes, and Naomi, I missed that. It was awesome. And it was just so cool to see the love of Jesus released. And I believe that, I don't know if Pastor Ray Pat or somebody else had talked to this young man. His name was Ryan, and he was in a wheelchair. And so he kind of came over, and he was with his friend, and he goes to Malone, and he was studying. I mean, he was a believer, and he was, you know, he said he's going to school for seminary or whatever. And we just began to share, you know, as we're talking to him, and I just asked him his testimony, like, hey, how did you get saved? And he told this story about how his grandmother got sick and was in the hospital, but in the midst of being in the hospital with this terminal illness, the hospital chaplain actually led her to the Lord, and she gave her life to Jesus. She recovered for a season, and then sometime later passed away, but she had this confidence and this boldness of like, no, I know where I'm going when I die. And that impacted and touched him to the point where he gave his life to the Lord, and he wanted to actually, you know, release that to other people. So we began to like share our testimonies, which is just, you know, the testimony of the Lord's faithfulness in our lives. And as I was sharing my testimony of what the Lord has done in my life, it perfectly segued, because I'm like, okay, Lord, how are we going to work this into praying for healing for him? Because I know you want to touch him, Lord. And so worked it into the testimony of being in Africa, baptized in a chief of a village who gave to Jesus, and then began to share with him of like, we know people that have seen people raised from the dead. We've seen arms and legs grow out. We've seen eyes be healed. And just kind of began to share with him the Lord's heart for healing. Talked about Michelle Perry, who is believing in faith for her leg to grow out, and still, you know, was a missionary in Sudan and still didn't let what physically was limiting her, she didn't let it keep her from stepping out in the fullness of the gospel at that time. Just began to sow seeds of encouragement into his heart. And so it was so cool how I could just sense the love of the Lord breaking down those barriers, because I said, have people prayed for you before? And he's like, yes. And a lot of times it would leave me angry and frustrated and bitter, and I've, you know, worked through these things of I'm upset with myself and everything else. And so it's just kind of building this atmosphere of faith, of love, of building up and encouraging his heart. And as I was stepping into that place, you know, at the end of it, he's like, well, can I have a hug? Because it's just the love of Jesus was flowing. And stepped in that place, and in that embrace, it was just the love of Jesus right down there in the middle of First Friday, just hit right between us. And I was able to speak and represent the Father's love and the Father's embrace over him, to where, I mean, he's a twin, and he has spina bifida, and his twin is completely fine, completely normal, completely like as free range of motion and everything else. But in this moment and in this encounter, the Lord was, by his grace, allowed me to release the Father's heart over him, and then moved right in to declaring healing over him and over his body. And it was healing and restoring his heart, because the Lord was showing me that he had frustration, he had hurt, he had barriers in his heart that was keeping him from stepping into that deeper place. But it was just so amazing to see how the Lord shifted his heart and brought about an expectation of, at first he was talking about, you know, this is going to happen in, you know, in heaven. I'll be a glorified body and everything will be good. But beyond that, it was like, yes, that's true. But why, we can see that right now. Because why not? Because it's still going to be a living testimony of the Lord's faithfulness. And it was so cool just to see the Lord's love, just to settle on his heart, to awaken on the inside of him destiny. And the word the Lord was giving me is like, you're strong and you're not limiting. You're not limiting. You're not letting your physical limitations limit your heart of going after Jesus. And the Lord was reminding me, and Lawrence even spoke it out in the message this morning, the Lord was reminding me about how he sees the faith on the inside of us, how he sees the good on the inside of us and calls it out. And the Lord was showing me that over this young man, that based on his life situation and circumstance, he didn't enter in to bitterness and anger and frustration at the Lord. He believed that he was good. And as I was able to express that, it broke down all the barriers in his heart to resisting a touch from Jesus at that moment, to bring further healing to his heart, to position him to receive that miracle. That, I believe, is a testament to the atmosphere of all of you stepping out, coming down there. You, as we go down there together, unified in purpose and spirit, it opens up a deeper realm of heaven to impact and touch that area right around there. It's the heart of unity together. with expectation that God's going to move. He's going to do this. So you know what's coming up in July. But really, take that to heart, because never underestimate the power of a... Look, we preach it all the time about a unified body as we go down to Africa, as we go to Mozambique, as we go to India. This team's in unity. The same thing here on our outreaches as we go out, not just an official outreach, but our hearts together as we're unified, it increases our impact in the area and the community around us. And it's no accident as well, and then get this thing away from me because I'll keep talking. It's no accident as well, the things that have happened with IMA and the prayer meeting in the back, and just that synergy and that unity being released through prayer. And I believe it's the beginning and the first fruits of that ark being built. And what does it look like? I don't know. But let's get together in unity to see it built. And each one of us has a part to play in that. And that us coming together in downtown Canton released an atmosphere there that the Lord wants to continue. And there was the last thing. There was a guy that had his picture drawn like 8 or 9 years ago at our booth, and he came back. Now he was totally into New Age Reiki and all this stuff or whatever. And Lawrence was able to speak to him and take him back to the place of, it's not an accident that you're standing right here in front of us. It's not an accident that you remembered. He remembered his picture in detail from like 10 years ago. For that moment, for Lawrence to say, yes, Jesus isn't just a prophet. He's God, and he loves you. And yes, you're hungry and you're searching after spiritual things, but let this encounter right here be a reminder that he is Lord and that you are to seek him in fullness, and he'll wash off all of those other things. So if the Lord can do that for a guy who got his picture drawn 10 years ago or something like that, what can he continue to do as we continue to put ourselves out there in the fields of harvest? And the Lord's going to meet us, and he's going to meet people and just change and shift their lives amazingly. So July, First Friday.
I don't remember who it was, but yesterday afternoon, one of the team members brought up how cool it was to have so many people from Frontline there. I don't remember who said that, and it just, was it Mandy? And really seemed to add something to the spirit, because it's very easy for our minds to think God's not doing anything, or why am I here, all that. But when people kept showing up and the Frontline representation filled both sides of where we were, it was really striking. You could feel the power. It was power. It wasn't just 1, 2, or 5. There was a powerful, hello, we're here in the spirit. It was really cool. We had two people that went on many trips with us in the past. And they're no longer with us, but they're in the area. And they came, and they kept coming back and forth and looking at the numbers of people. And it's not impressing. It's not that. But there was a spiritual push in the spirit. In the spirit, there was a spiritual push. The atmosphere was so pregnant with power and love. It was amazing. And I really believe the Lord was also saying, I'm not only stirring up somebody who got a picture 10 years ago, but someone who may have been on the mission field with us 10, 15 years ago or more, to remember what I did, remember who I am. It was really cool. Just to kind of keep that going, there's two things before Pastor Bill preaches. I just asked Rick permission. I just want to pray for Rick. Rick has had a problem in his sciatic nerve. A couple weeks, he said, before we went to Washington, D.C. And he was really in a lot of pain in Washington, D.C., pushing through, driving with Kim sharing the driving too, but pushing through and doing a lot of physical work. Before that, after that, and even during that, standing up and worshiping as we did, you know, for those several days that we were there, it was really strong. He was strongly in pain. So we prayed for him there, and the pain left. It was like, yes. And then over the next few, I don't know what time period, but maybe after, right after that, I don't know, it returned. And he's been struggling a lot with that. And some of us know about it and some don't. But I want to do two things with that. I want to tell you something that when we were in Ghana, and Rick and Kim were great helps in Ghana, as the whole team was, such a great help. But you know how many people in here have picked up our sound box before? You know how heavy that is? Who has ever carried the sound box? You know, Rick dropped that on his toe. And Rick's a man of men, you know, it's like, ah! But he didn't, you know, scream or cry out or anything, but he asked for prayer. And when we came together and we prayed for him, it was done. He was healed. It was like, okay, we can go on with the next. And we kept going ministering together. It was really powerful. It's like, do you see this miracle? This is a big one. This is a big deal. So I'd like us to pray for Rick. Also in mind with what Andy said, this is where this idea came. Also, I had this morning, actually, in the shower. I had this sharp pain back here. And I don't have a problem with my back. I was like, oh, what is that? And it came again. I was like, what is that? So, I'm rebuking that. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's a word of knowledge. Okay, thank you, Lord. So that was a reminder. And then when Andy's talked about this man in the wheelchair, we had a couple people, actually. I thought about Maria. And Maria's not here. She's home with Cynthia and the kids. And so let's pray for Rick in absentia, also for Maria. Why not? As we prayed for these people in First Friday. And believe that the Lord is the same Lord, whether we're in Ghana and a sound box drops on a toe. And we'll also pray for Cynthia for physical strength and any problem that she might have going along with that, and emotional strength and the fortitude that the God's trying to develop. And notice that as this family is suffering, they're still serving, which is really cool. So thank you, Lawrence, for coming out, not only First Friday, but also teaching and imparting this morning. And just so that you guys know, and I'm going to ask Jamie to come up and give a quick word about the mission picnic after we're finished here. We don't have to spend a lot of time, but we really need you guys there. We've invited other people to come, and it's important for you to come in and help them see also that Jesus is real, and he's taken us to the nation. So please make that a priority for your lives. I also want to say that the idea came to us to help our little ones who are out of school. The LipTech kids aren't, but most other kids are out of school. We want to help them step into doing something for others, serving others. It's great to have picnics and birthdays and friends and going to the pool. I'm all about it. Kids should be kids. However, we also were encouraged by many people in this last week, even leaders of kids, last weekend or the weekend before. Kids, go serve somebody else. So in light with that, we're going to have a mission trip for our little people. And we're asking big people to help with that. We're going to have Camp Larson, where the people will be staying on Friday and Saturday night. It'll be in mid-August. And Lawrence is going to head that up. And if Cynthia is able to, I don't know, or anybody who helps Lawrence. And so we're going to take kids into soup kitchens and doing a drama or a dance out in a place where there are other kids that don't necessarily share the same environment they do. We're going to do other things to expose kids and give them a chance to pray and say, Jesus rose from the dead after he died, you know, and give them a chance to briefly give the gospel. Easy, right? Simple. And pray for people. And that's what we want to try to do and get them in that place of laying themselves down, even at a young age, very small. So that will be for our kids, and that's coming up, and then when we develop it, we'll figure out what to tell you. Oh, I don't even know the dates, April or August 16, 17, 18, or 15, something like that. Mid-August, that weekend in mid-August with the 16, so I'm not sure the exact date. 17, 18, and 19 is on Sunday morning, so, and we would end here Sunday morning somehow. Okay, so let's, Rick, do you mind if you just come sit on this chair, and we're just going to, if you can just stand up, we're going to pray for him. This is for Maria also, and for this man that we met on First Friday. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Kim, do you want to come and just put your hands on him too? That would be great. So let's just extend our hands, and we're going to believe that there's a change. And if you're feeling an unction for healing, come quickly. We're not calling the whole church. Just come quickly. Don't waste any time. Just get out of your seat and come quickly and put your hand on Rick. If that unction is here, if you don't know what that means, if you feel God saying it, do it. Thank you, Father. So, Father, we thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha. We love you, Lord. Your name has been lifted up high upon all levels, Lord Jesus. We give you the glory. We give you the praise, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that your name is above every name, that every knee would bow and tongue would confess that you're Lord. We know that you're Rick's Lord, and I thank you, Jesus, that you're doing something right now in our midst for Rick, and I thank you for what you began. He who began a good work will bring it to completion. So I thank you, Father, that the sciatic nerve, whatever the root cause is of this, I know he had an accident 10 or so years ago. Father, we go back right there, and we thank you, Lord. We just call a reversal to that. Whatever was meant to steal, kill, and destroy and traumatize his body, Father, we speak life into that area and we reverse it. We thank you, Lord, that you bring your healing and your restoring work, just like you did in Ghana when the sound box was dropped on his toe. I thank you, Lord, that your power is released right now. Thank you, Lord, that your fire and power is released and that your blood is moving in every area, every tributary from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Come upon him. Thank you, Lord. As you're healing him, thank you, Lord. This is traveling right to Copley and touching Maria and Cynthia. Thank you, Lord. There is nothing, Father, that is from hell that would be able to touch these people at all. And the same for the man in downtown Canton. I thank you, God, for both men. I thank you, Lord, for your healing power, your healing anointing, your healing aroma. Thank you, Father, that you are doing it for us right now because you're God and you're good and you're faithful. We praise your holy name and we thank you, Lord, that we can see this miracle happening here for Rick, touching Maria, touching Cynthia, touching these people right now, that your blood extends around the world and we're interconnected, we're unified, and we thank you for your blood right now moving. Your blood speaks a better word, Lord. One drop of blood brings it to completion, and you said it's finished. So, Father, because you've raised from the dead, we thank you, Lord, that this is a done deal. Thank you for Maria getting up, for cancer to be completely gone, eradicated every infection down to the cellular level, Lord. Thank you, Lord, the devourer is pushed out in Jesus' name, out of Maria Peralta, out of Rick, out of Cynthia, out of anyone that we've mentioned, God. We thank you, Lord. We curse it at the root. And anything that would try to come against these bodies, in Cynthia's foot, in any way, we curse everything, God. It's not from your hand. Because only blessing is received in these bodies. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. And we give you thanksgiving because you're God. Thank you, Jehovah God. We are building that ark by your instructions. And this is a place of healing and security and a place, God, of resurrection power that shows yourself strong as you demonstrate. We expect the miraculous. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And if anyone else isn't feeling well, just ride that wave. Say, thank you, do it for me. Thank you, Lord, for the word of knowledge this morning. Thank you, Lord, that our eyes are on you and that declare that you're in unity together with the purpose and the vision of this house. The enemy likes to kill visionaries. I know for a fact. And so do we, the leaders. So God says, if you're a visionary, be surrounded by the blood of Jesus right now and protected. I speak Psalm 91 over Rick and Maria, Cynthia, and everybody else we mentioned, and in this church family, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Rick, can you move and see if there's any change yet? And we'll get the report later about Maria.
I was having a very tough time up at, you know, playing up there. I have to sit. Just because the numbness that comes in the back of the leg. But I do want to testify, back in 2009, when we came back, my first trip to Africa, I came back 6 weeks after we came back from the trip, came down with malaria symptoms and was very sick for a week. And this very same scenario on a Tuesday night, yes, it was right here. It was very sick, and I had about enough energy just to walk through the door, and I just wanted to lay my head down and kind of get through that Tuesday night fire and wind service. And, Pastor Mary Pat called me up and gathered our family around. We had some foster children at the time. They gathered around, and the whole church family gathered around and prayed. And I don't remember too much of what was said or whatever. I just remember falling on my face forward. I don't know how long I was even laying there. But I do know that when I got up, God said, go grab a djembe and start worshiping me. Now, I had enough energy to just walk through the door. But he said, grab that djembe and start worshiping me. So I was obedient. I didn't really ponder whether anything had happened at that time. I just was obedient, did that. For 2 hours, I worshiped. And when I was done, it looked like someone threw a 5-gallon bucket of water on me. It was pretty powerful. And it was one of the most powerful worship services I had ever been a part of. And again, God got me through all that. But when it was done, I felt great. And I said, am I healed, God? Am I healed? And he just gave an overwhelming peace came over me that, yes, you are. And that night, never had another symptom. I hadn't slept for nearly a week. I was gray in color, pretty sick. Never had any more symptoms, never anything. So I was healed that night through prayer and corporate prayer of their church body, gathering around, laying on of hands. And so I testified tonight, or today, that, I believe that's the same scenario. There's what your mind will say, that, you're not healed, and, you'll work this out, and better go see a doctor. But, Jesus is the great physician. He has 100% success rate. When you trust him and we believe in him, you are healed. He declares that. And I'm that persistent widow that's believing that, and it's feeling great right now. I'm feeling good, yes. And so I'm trusting that it's healed in Jesus' name and not going to believe the lies of the enemy that this will come back or I have to live with that or anything. That's not God's portion. His good portion is his goodness and his love and mercy and total healing for my body. So thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Hey, that's cool. Hey, guys, listen to this. You have an opportunity. Kids, this is going to be so amazing for you. Listen to this. It's not the pool, but if you sweat enough, it'll become like that. Next Saturday, we get to be here to clean up this place. We're going to call it a play day. So come have a play date with your other buddies, all the kids and parents. Everybody come so that we can clean up this place. It's kind of house cleaning. We need it. And so it's next Saturday, June 9th. And so we're inviting you, asking you to come. And we're going to be working around here. If you think, I'm busy or I want to do something else, see the Lord about that and see if you can change that so we can all do something together to spruce up this place that's in desperate need. As you can see, you have eyes to see. Think of your own houses. You clean the bathrooms, most people, right? And kids are learning how to take care of things and to honor what God's given us. Bring them, show them. But you come. Don't just come and look and go, see, we're cleaning. Actually help, prepare to do that. So we'll come and do whatever we're going to do. And Rick and Kim are spearheading that. And Rick's coming with a healed back. I mean, is that cool? See, this is a faith statement. So please come. So that we're, not wondering where people are. I went swimming instead. You can go swimming another day. Come. Or after. Come. Come and help. What are the times, guys? Oh. Good. 8 a.m. till we're done. That's my Judah. That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. This is a very long announcement time, but it's visioning time. So very quickly, I'm going to ask Rach and Jamie to come and say what needs to happen today, or just to kind of give a little vision.
Today is the missions picnic, so we'd like you to come and to bring some international food to share. Time your cooking so that it can you can be here by 4 o'clock because all of us in Greenlight Missions have certain things that we're involved in and want you to, activities for you to do, and it's going to be fun. And one thing, Isaac and I have been developing, there's going to be some hidden things around for you to find, and he asked me to make a strict announcement that if you see those hidden things, do not tell anyone else so that everyone can have their own chance to find them. Yeah. Yes, we'll give you more directions when you come in, but there will be hidden things around the tables that we're going to have, which will be outside if it's bright and sunny like this.
Yeah, this is a little different than what we've done in the past. Some of you guys know who've been a part of summer mission trips, so I think it's really cool because it encompasses all of us, not those of us who've just been overseas. It's those of us who just have a heart for Jesus and those friends and family that we have. So just bring an international dish. It doesn't have to be international, but that'd be really fun if it was. So it starts at 4 p.m., and everything will be outside. So we get to be outside today. We won't be in, there's going to be tents, so we'll be shade for those who need that. And just welcome you and welcome. I've invited neighbors because there's people that know that you've been on mission trips, and we're always talking about it. We send support letters out, and so just inviting your next-door neighbor, hey, you know all those places I go to? I want you to come and hear about it. And people get excited, so bring them. Yeah, we have also a fun little video that we put together just of footage and pictures that have just been, all of you guys know, that have been taken over the years, just to bless you and just remind you and stir you of what, who you called to be, who you are, and where you've been, and just give glory to the Lord. So it'll be exciting.
Amen. Oh, I'm revived. You guys feeling excited? So good. Any other quick something? Amen. Okay, Kingdom Kids. See you. Pastor Bill's on.
Here we are once again. Anyone remember what I spoke on 2 weeks ago? There was a tremendous message in between, so it may be hard to remember. I'll give you that. 2 weeks ago, just 2 weeks, 14 days. Okay, well, we'll review that entire message before we do this one. Father, we give you praise. We honor your investment in us was your life. I pray, God, that we would be willing to invest the same toward you, our lives invested toward you. Lord, we know that there are steps for that. We can't just say it. We have to back it up. Lord, we can't just give a testimony about it. We need to back it up. Father, teach us this morning how to back it up, Lord. How to come close to you to the point that you change us, that we're not so far away that we can't be changed. Lord, we draw in, and the closer we draw in, the more we're changed to be like you, to have your heart, to really care about the nations, not just speak it out and hope. That we really have that deep, ingrained in us, care about people on the streets of Canton, care about those in this body, care about the less fortunate, care about the poor. That's your heart. Our heart tends to care about me. Lord, expand us today. Deepen your heart in us today. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Did I say enough clues in that prayer to give you an idea what the last message was about? Apparently not. What? Did you say something? It's a H word, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so it was about the heart, and it's true. Our hearts become very hard, but slowly. And that's the difficulty. Seeing it. We can't see it on our own usually. It takes someone else. It takes Holy Spirit. It takes the Word of God. It takes other believers to point it out in us. But if we kind of shy away from having it pointed out, then it may take some time, and by the time that happens, we find out we have a heart of stone. So that was that message, and it kind of fits in with this one. In fact, I'm intentionally desiring to cause conviction today. So if you thought with all the things about humility over the weekend, for those that were here during the weekend at some point, for those in this season that have been hearing about humility, okay, well, certainly they'll pick another topic. And actually, it's just too much of a theme to leave it. But there are parts of humility that get down to the nuts and bolts. We can say humility, oh yeah, I need humility. Oh, I need to seek humility. Oh, I need to go after humility. There are some practical things that we can face in the mirror, and we won't be able to walk away from it. Jesus will remind us of what we looked like in the mirror. He'll tell us that needs to change. You can't just hear about it. You have to act on it. You can't just look at it in the mirror and walk away unchanged. You must look in the mirror and be changed. So the key to allowing conviction to do its work is positive change in us without condemnation. I want to bring conviction by the Holy Spirit today, but I don't want you to be leaving condemned. That's not the goal for any of us. And so we'll need to know our identity in Jesus. He loves us. He wants us to change. He's serious about it. He doesn't want us just to fluff out the rest of our lives. He wants us to go after his heart with all that we are and all that we have. But he doesn't want to condemn us in the process. And that means there's hope. A steady hope despite a stiff challenge to the status quo of our hearts. Hope. So keep hope in mind as you hear this. Because I'm going to do a Jonathan Edwards on you. You know what Jonathan Edwards would do? He would get up very stiff, straight-faced, and he would read his sermon to his congregation. And then they would begin to tremble. And they'd fall out of their seats. And they'd grab onto the posts in the room that held up the ceiling. We don't have too many of those to grab onto, so. And they would shake under the power of the Holy Spirit from this very dry presentation. Now, it won't be as dry as he was. That's impossible for me. But that's my approach. I'm going to read some things to you today. And what you need to do is drink it in. Well, I don't like someone reading to me. Tough. This time, open yourself up to it. I had somebody that I knew very well, was a fellow believer in about the same stage of spiritual growth as myself. And he said, I just don't like anybody to read anything to me. I'm like, man, I need it all. I don't care whether they read it, they shout it, they kick me in the butt, whatever it takes, I need it, every bit of it. So be that person. So, family members find you collapsed on the floor at your home. Picture yourself. You are breathing, but unconscious. A nervous 911 call is made. An emergency crew is immediately dispatched to come to your aid. They take your vitals, and shake their collective heads as they strap you to the wheeled stretcher and urgently carry you out to the emergency vehicle. With engine roaring and lights flashing, you are quickly transported to a local hospital. Once you arrive at the hospital, the emergency team frantically rushes to take you into the emergency physician, the renowned Dr. Joshua Jacquet. As you begin to regain consciousness, while you are still groggy, trying to get your bearings as to where you are and why, Dr. Jacquet, using his honed skills of superb bedside manner, gives his initial assessment. Bill, can I call you Bill? There is no other way to say this. Are you lying down? Of course you are. Brace yourself. You've had what clearly appears to be a massive heart attack. Here, focus on this tiny and fuzzy ultrasound screen to see your four blown out heart chambers. It definitely appears that this condition is the result of a deadly disease, which at this point has overtaken your entire body, every cell, every system. It is the common but deadly disease of hypocrisy. That is why I am running alongside your gurney at this moment, shouting to you this diagnosis above the din of a busy hospital, because you need emergency surgery by the great physician. So I am transferring you over into his capable healing hands. There are physical diseases and there are spiritual diseases. The young believer, baby believer, or the believer that has been around for years but has not grown in his faith as much as he would like people to think, are especially susceptible to this disease. It is a malady of the soul that affects the body and spirit of a patient. The only known cure is continual heavy doses of humility administered by Jesus himself, the great physician. We are all hypocrites being healed. This was a declaration of a former pastor of ours, Mary Pat and mine. Not a saying that was authored by him, but often used by him. He then led a charge to try to destroy Frontline and PMP and my ministry. He actively trashed us to our church family and any leaders that would listen. However, he didn't survive the process spiritually in many other ways. He eventually crashed and took many others with him. We are not all hypocrites being healed. Only those who seek the heart and the humility of Jesus can be progressively healed of the spiritual disease called hypocrisy. It takes intentional submission to the diagnosis, the treatment program, and the cure offered by the great physician. It takes radical heart surgery, quadruple heart surgery, all four chambers. This is a dark and wicked cancer. With only a few cells, it can metastasize throughout our spiritual being. This particular cancer can easily be transmitted by to others that we come into contact with. And when we are contagious, often through simply speaking to them as you share the same close atmosphere. There's a process of growth in Jesus, becoming more like Jesus. Hypocrisy must be healed in that process. Our public persona must match our private persona. Our persona in God's presence must be the persona that we exhibit to family, friends, those we influence, and the world. If we are a fake, then we're a liar. If we claim to be a disciple and secretly we are tearing down disciples, being used by the enemy to be divisive and destructive to the true building of the kingdom of God, then we are a hypocrite. It is not just a quick, oh, oopsie, I was negative, accusative, blaming, just for a second there. It is who we really are. Therefore, we need to do business with God. Much of the conviction that we sense from the Holy Spirit is due to hypocrisy. Much of the guilt we feel when we are in church or around godly leaders or humble disciples is due to hypocrisy. Much of the anger that rises or the stuff that spits out of our mouths is directly related to the disease of hypocrisy that is invading our personhood. However, we can't blame the disease for our thoughts, words, attitudes, or actions. The responsibility to eradicate the pervasive infection in us lies with us. Because this disease is preventable and curable, there are no excuses for continuing to cooperate with its devastating effects. You cannot remain in denial and be cured. That is why humility is such a key. To even admit that you have such a slimy condition takes a level of dying to self that too few seem willing to undertake. There are many, 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 many symptoms of hypocrisy. Here are a few. The person acts contrary to willing obedience. The person boldly says one thing, secretly and selfishly does another. Acting, speaking, godly in public, but the opposite in private. We could call it two-faced. Exhibits an array of extreme negative emotions, words, attitudes, actions, pride, anger, judgment, contempt, accusation, blame, slander, libel, offense, bitterness, mocking, doubts the supernatural, does not value the supernatural truly, values law and opposing doctrine, does not give God his due in money, time, worship, openness to his counsel and correction, obedience. The Pharisees called it korban, given to God. Whatever they wanted to keep for themselves, they took it even from widows, and they said, korban, it is given to God, but they kept it for themselves. It was a lie. Hypocrites flatter rather than genuinely encourage. They might say something very, very, very nice to you, but it's not backed in private when they talk about you. A hypocrite is hard-hearted, stone-hearted, as we talked about last time, not open-hearted, concrete, not clay. Clay is malleable. Concrete, once it's set, you have to break it up. They value law over liberty while saying the opposite. Some of the people that have spoken to me one way or another and said, I'm taking my liberty, they actually were very much saying that they wanted the law to be invoked, that they were allowed to do certain things by law. There's a loss of true passion, compassion, bearing one another's burdens, selflessness, an overall loss of fire. So who's the prime biblical example of this disease? We know the Pharisees. They were called whitewashed tombs with dead man's bones on the inside by Jesus. perfect illustration for us to consider. Are we whitewashed tombs on the outside and present ourselves as godly, but inside it's not exactly the case? We're dying on the inside while acting like we're joyful and upbeat and encouraging on the outside. Both Jesus and John the Baptist called the Pharisees a brood of vipers. Now, does that mean that Jesus never worked with a Pharisee? Of course he did. Of course he did. He spoke with Nicodemus. And he revealed himself after he went into heaven to Paul on the road to Damascus. It takes a road to Damascus kind of experience to pull us out of hypocrisy. We tend to think, well, I'll nip and tuck at things. I'll change this little thing in my life, and I'll change that little thing in my life. And yeah, I mean, I'm just like most Christians. By the way, you've got this, and you've got that, and that leader, and this thing. Well, we know what Jesus said about that. The speck in our brother's eye and the log in our own. What does the world point out about the church? There's just a bunch of hypocrites. Now, partially, they're right. And partially, they're wrong. Because hypocrites can be saved. Hypocrites can have a lot of things happen in their life positive. But why prevent everything that God wants to do in our life by reaching a certain level of hypocrisy and never moving from that and getting rid of it? We'll be limited. We won't be as powerful in Jesus as we want you all to be. Every person in here, our desire, leaders' desire, hopefully each other's desire for one another, is to become the most powerful believer you can be. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. Struck blind to show him that he was blind spiritually. It took another believer to help him. God would not heal his blindness as he struck him blind, after he struck him blind. He used another believer to help Paul with his blindness. What message does that give to us? Very powerful one. We need each other to point out the blindness in each other, but we have to be open to that. And if we're busy thinking of ourselves as high and mighty like the Pharisees did, we'll never reach the point where we'll be corrected. And so we'll have this hypocrisy and we'll think, no, I'm okay. I'm as good as the next guy. And before long we find out, wow, we're not doing anything for God. We're just talking big. The biggest talkers, be careful, often the biggest hypocrites. But also, the biggest talkers with Holy Spirit behind them are leaders. So it's hard to distinguish the wheat and the tares. Hard to distinguish because there are people that stand up here and say things. It takes a discerning heart to know where they're at. Just because someone can speak something powerfully, they have to back it up with their life and back it up in private. All of us. All of us. You notice that I used Bill in the example. You know what happens? The person that gets the message from God first hears it from God, then they hear it again when they preach it out, then God reminds them how far they fall short of that after they preach it out because they feel kind of good about giving it out to other people. I mean, they get it like 3 or 4 times. So if you want that, I could help you with that. But you'll get it once otherwise. Obviously, there are many more things that we could point out about the Pharisees, but we know them pretty well. They bothered Jesus all the time. He spoke to them all the time. And you say, well, why are you bringing up all the negative? Why can't we talk about the love of the Father today? We are. He wants the hypocrisy out of any of us and all of us. And yes, I'm speaking to you. He always asks me afterwards, were you speaking to me? Yes, I'm speaking to me too. You know, I mentioned the mirror, James. In James, it talks about that mirror. Don't walk away from the mirror. Stay there. See all the things that are on that mirror. As I grow older, I see more things on my face I never saw before. And some things are growing in weird places. And they look different and dark. Things darken in and different things. And I look and go, how can that be? I mean, the skin, you know, changes. It's not the same skin I had when I was 20. It changes. All these cells leave. Why don't the better cells come in? That's a discussion for another time. Anyway, not long ago, I had this picture of a boxing ring. Listen to it. I saw myself representing anyone that ministers with love as the trainer in a boxer's corner who comes out at the end of a long round to guide the fighter over to rest on the stool so he can take off his gloves to check for injuries, put salve on his cuts and bruises, squeeze refreshing water out of a sponge over his head, massage tired muscles, and coach him with encouraging words. Have the picture? Trainer in the corner, boxer in the ring. But the fighter, I see, resists the trainer's guidance toward the corner and instead starts pummeling the trainer, which was represented by me. This is just like the ones I or we have tried to help over the years during the rounds of boxing with the real enemy, only to be punched viciously and even kicked with extreme anger, easy blame, intentional accusation, intense offense, and an infection of bitterness, while the enemy is laughing and cheering wickedly while prancing freely in his corner of the ring. Who's the real person to fight? The enemy. He's the one in the ring that we're fighting, not other people, not our trainer. The enemy. He knows that the more energy expended by the fighter on those trying to help him will leave that much less energy to battle him, the enemy. So he loves it when there's problems among people in the church. When the hypocrisy grows, the enemy cheers. He's excited. When we try to hide the hypocrisy, he's like, man, I inspired that. Hiding it, not dealing with it. He's excited, very excited, when the hypocrisy in us doesn't get healed. So this whole picture about the boxing ring is like the principle of the biting the hand that feeds you. Here's the person that can help you spiritually, can help you grow, can help you get close to Jesus, can help you see things. The Lord will use them to take some of your blindness out of your life, like with Paul. And you fight that person. You don't want it. You battle with them. You pummel them, maybe, rather than going after the real enemy. Also, the phrase, in your corner, is what this refers to, isn't it? The trainer is in your corner, trying to help you, trying to assist you, trying to heal up your wounds and help you as you battle the real enemy of your spiritual life. Hypocrites attract other hypocrites into negativity circles. We had one person a number of years ago say, every message you give is about getting rid of negativity. Every message. I said, that's almost impossible to have every message have negativity mentioned. But they were convinced of that. What does that say? That person was totally convicted about negativity. It wasn't about the messages. That's the only message the Lord was speaking to them while all the messages were being given. What's that say? That's conviction. Come on. It's the truth. What comes out of people's mouths is oftentimes exactly what they're struggling with as they accuse someone else. Be careful that as it comes out of your mouth, listen to it. Because it'll be what you're struggling with in your own heart. It's incredible how that happens. True disciples sense when these circles are forming and battle to present the Lord's heart of humility to prevent the negativity circle from activating and operating. True disciples stand up and they say, hey, isn't this enough of this? I mean, this is enough. You're tearing down this person. They're not here. How about you go talk to them? You got a big problem with them, sounds like. True disciples stand up in that environment of a negativity circle if they're drawn into it. And they're, you know, the circle always wants to expand, by the way. If hypocrites are attracted to hypocrites, then the circle likes to expand and include other people that they, without knowing it, they want to be part of agreeing with them. And they don't even know this is going on. I'm not saying everyone just says, oh yeah, I want to be a hypocrite. But they choose not to work on it. No one volunteers, I don't think, to be a hypocrite. But they do choose to let it continue in their life, even if it's been pointed out to them many times. But true disciples sense when the circles are forming and battle to present the Lord's heart of humility to prevent the negativity circle from activating and operating. There is an inborn desire within the disciple to short-circuit the negative connections that form so quickly. Negative conversations are just easy, aren't they? I mean, that's the easiest thing in the world. Look at the desert. The children of Israel in the desert. I mean, negativity circle was like how many million people? You know, several million people was a negativity circle. And here's Moses going, I think we should seek the Lord's heart. I think we should go the Lord's way. And then, you know, Caleb and Joshua joined him in that. But that was kind of a small group, prayer group in the tent of meeting that was standing against all this huge negativity with all these hypocrites. You know, yeah, I love God. Oh, thank you, manna, manna. And the next minute, that manna's getting old. I'm sure tired of that manna. Oh, here's a bird. Oh, it died right in front of me. Meat, wonderful, wonderful. I want leeks and onions back at the old place. Now we can put up the quote, I guess. She was ready. Hopefully it reads the same as mine. I copied it, so I don't know. Both hypocrisy and humility are a choice. Hypocrisy is a natural choice of the flesh. Humility is a supernatural choice of the spirit. And again, it's not, you're not saying, I choose to be a hypocrite. You're choosing mainly to compromise with God's process. So humility doesn't compromise with God's process. It says, bring it on. I need to get hit in the face with stuff. I need to be hit between the eyes. I've even had disciples say, hit me between the eyes with whatever you have to say with me. Don't hold it back. Some meant it, and some didn't. Some meant it, and some didn't. And when I tried to do it, some ran. Others stood, took it into their life, and they became more like Jesus. And I became more like Jesus because I was giving it out. It works both ways. Both hypocrisy and humility are a choice. Hypocrisy is the natural choice of the flesh. Easy. It's so easy to just slide in the church, especially in the church. Because people are trying to be nice. They're trying to listen to your heart. And then your heart starts going in a direction it shouldn't go. And so few are willing to stop it and say, that's not helpful for you. That's not helpful for the person you're talking about. And that's not helpful to the kingdom of God. So few can do that. And oftentimes, the circle of negativity knows who those people are. And they're not allowed to come anymore. They're not allowed to show up anymore because they say, let's stop this kind of talk or whatever it happens to be. So the questions today, can you face up to being two-faced? Can you face up to being two-faced in any part of your life, in anything in your life? Are you really willing to face up to God and say, I'm two-faced? On this particular thing, I see it, but there's got to be more. Go ahead, show me more. Go ahead. I need to see where I'm two-faced. Because I'm over here speaking good things about you, and I'm over here. Waka, waka, waka. And it's not good. Can you commit to God to obediently follow him to take you through the process of maturity? Some people come into the body of Christ, they receive Jesus, they go a little bit into becoming a son or daughter of the Most High, then they just go, okay, that's good enough. Going to heaven. Had some experiences. Good enough. Far enough. Enough commitment. I mean, I love Jesus. Come on. Everybody knows that. But their growth is stunted because they're not willing to go as far as God wants them to go. They won't. They refuse. And they get some others to agree with them that it's okay. In private as well as publicly, are you speaking life? Life. There's a lot of life spoken from the front here all the time. People come up. We allow people. You know, we could just keep it to a very small group that speaks up here. But we have all kinds of people that speak up here. And we love it. And they give testimony about God. We love that. But what's going on in people's hearts, God knows whether they can back it up when they go out the door. And do any of us back it up fully? No, well, that's great. We can all agree on that. Oh, we don't, no, okay. All right, so we won't change anything. No, we're going to challenge each other to change things. We could all say, well, we're only human. Everybody does that sometime. I just happen to do it 27 times a week. No, we need to challenge one another to change. Bible says iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. One woman too. And women sharpening men. It's hard for men, but they benefit so much by it. And men sharpening women, men tend to take that role. They like the sharpening of the woman. The other way around is a little harder. Come on, let's talk real stuff here today. In private as well as publicly, are you speaking life or do you often speak the poisoned, bitter words of the hypocrite? Ouch! I wrote that at a very open time with God. Now it really hurts. So there are passages throughout the New Testament. Don't stay away from them. And you can say the same back to me, somebody. Thank you. The log passage. You know the log passage. A log in your brother's eye. No, log. You're looking for a log in your brother's eye, but there's just a speck, and you have a log in your own eye. Now, you could take this whole message and say, Pastor Bill's got that log going. But it also says, take out. Take out. So if I take it out, I'm allowed to really challenge you. So take it from me. God is taking me through this process of taking it out so I can challenge you. So you'll see the logs in your eyes, which to us look like a speck. You know, if I look in Peter's eye and I find a speck, I see it as a speck. He's going to see it as a log if he looks carefully. Luke 6, 39 through 45, the good fruit, bad fruit, and it also talks about the log. You can't have good fruit come from a bad tree. Only a good tree produces good fruit. But a good tree does produce good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. So some people think, you know, wow, that leadership that's going around the world and sharing Jesus everywhere and building people up and challenging people, they're just a bad tree. Look at the fruit. The fruit's good. Tree's good. Don't cut the tree down. Don't try to cut the tree down. Don't chop the tree down. It'll work against you and against the kingdom of God. Matthew 6, 1 through 6, verse 16, all about the showiness of hypocrites. They pray beautiful prayers, and it's just for show. They give just for show. By the way, some of you can give just for show for a while, and I wouldn't care. Go ahead, fill it up back there. And then once you get to the place where it's from your heart, it's okay. Sorry. Matthew 23, oh my. 8 woes to hypocrites. Verses 13, 14, 15, 23, 25, 27, 29, 51. Matthew 23, read through that from starting in verse 13. Challenging, convicting. See, these Pharisees, you don't look at them as hypocrites of the past and, oh, yeah, those guys. And they're in here for us to be challenged by. Amen? They're not just to be dismissed because they gave Jesus a hard time. We are giving Jesus a hard time. And that's not good. And you know, if you think hypocrite, you think Pharisee. Pharisee, you think hypocrite. So everything about the Pharisees is going to challenge us in the area of being true followers of Jesus, true disciples, and getting our ducks in a row lined up with heaven much more than ever. Matthew 7, 1 through 23 is that passage about korban. I don't know if that's the right pronunciation, but I like it. About where the Pharisees, they say, you know, oh no. Don't give that over here. Give it to us because it's korban. Or I won't give it because it's korban. You know, they labeled certain things with this phrase. It's given to God. And then it couldn't be used for anything other than what they felt it should be used for. We call that fraud. Now, in our government, but there's fraud taking place before God with some. Fraud. You're lying to God. Well, this is dedicated to this, but no, it's not, but korban. Korban. You have something to say about it. Korban. So it's not really being given over to God, what's due to him. Whether it's worship or money or whatever it happens to be. We're taking it and putting a label on it and saying, no. There's a reason, and it's my reason, why it can't be given to God truly. Of course, there are other passages in the New Testament about all these things. But if I were to go throughout the congregation this morning and I, you know, ask you, around your neck this morning after this message, you know, would you be considered a hero of God, you know, David at his best, Daniel at his best, Paul after he got completely transformed on the Damascus Road, or would you say, ooh, man, there's some of this in there, and so on? I think, you know, if it's more this than this that you can admit to, then you have a lot of business to do with God. And it would seem as though there would be those of your brothers and sisters that might be able to help with that. Just like the guy that helped Paul. Who was that? With the blindness. Ananias. Okay, Ananias. Forgot his name there for a minute. Ananias didn't want to go help him. Why? Because Paul was saying, I'm doing this for God. I'm letting Christians be built. I'm letting Christians be pummeled, be hit, be pounded. I'm letting them be hit with stones. I held the coats while they stoned Stephen. And I'm putting them in prison. I'm help putting them in prison. I'm doing all this for God. And Ananias said, I don't want to go go help that guy. And God says, do it. It'll work. And it did. So he was used with the Apostle Paul to release him from blindness. Think of that. The only time your name's mentioned in the Bible and you blessed one of the greatest heroes of the faith. What if that happened in this body? That there's a secret, amazing Paul or Ruth in this body that, okay, they've reached a certain level of ministering to the nations or whatever, but in the future, they're going to be an outstanding, unbelievable person that takes an entire nation or something similar. They take over for Billy Graham, and they're a woman, or whatever. Wouldn't you want to be in the annals of God, the writings of God, so to speak? The one he's keeping now, the record he's keeping now. This is the record of the past and the future, but he's also got an ongoing record of what's going on now that's not all contained in here. There are books, so many books that it can't, you know, can't be contained. That's still going on, his work in us. And you blessed by praying for some malady. Maybe you prayed for Rick today, and he's going to be something in the future that he doesn't even think he's going to be. Wouldn't you want that as your legacy? Well, that can only happen if we get this other junk out and let him get this junk out of our lives so that we'll be used in that way with many people. So you can see that humility boils down to a lot of getting real junk out. We can't just keep saying the word humility and it just somehow happens in us. Sometimes people pray even. They pray and they pray with emotion and nothing happens. Why? Because they're not praying about this stuff. They're praying and go, God, you know, God, you know. How about you tell him what you know about what's inside your heart and do some business with him? Same for me. More and more and more. Get down to the real stuff with him. Don't avoid it anymore. Don't avoid the issues and the oaths that we've taken that are against his entire plan for us. Open ourselves up fully to him with no korban over here on the side. That can't be touched. That's sacred. I won't bring that up to God. That's korban. It's already been given to him. That needs to be opened up. The korban container needs to be opened up so he can go in and say, yes, that's of me. No, that's not. You've been believing this for a long time. It's not of me. It's not of me. It's not of me. And watch what happens with this small group, even more than what's happening. We become more purified in heart. We get rid of the secrets in the background that still come out many times. It said that these things will be shouted from the mountaintops. Do you want to wait until then and find out your hypocrisy shouted from the mountaintops? Wow. Don't do that. Deal with God today on what he's bringing to your heart today, what Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart today. Does this sound like your father giving you a little bit of a, you know, yes? But I do it with a heart that's already gone through it with my father and your father. And if you don't like this father, you can go to that father. And he'll say the same thing or pretty close to it, I have a feeling. So Jesus, we just stand before you today. We're going to take off some of the masks that we've been wearing in order to truly go into the depths of humility. We have to take off some masks. We have to get some prayer for some pretty lethal things in our lives. Complacency. Giving our lives to money secretly. Having relational difficulties that need to come out into the open of at least some trusted people to pray. Some mature believers. We need to admit to you, I'm a baby believer and I haven't moved forward by my own choice. Or I'm a believer that's been around a long time, but I've decided I'm not taking the next step. I'm just going to let people think that I really spend all that time with you, God, in the background. I'm going to let people think that I have wisdom. I'm going to let people think that I'm better than I really am. Father, humility says to go ahead and let them know some of the cracks, some of the holes in the armor, so that we can challenge one another to go after Jesus with a much more open heart. Father, we need you. We need you to give us that extra nudge, that extra push by Holy Spirit. Go ahead, convict us today. Convict us today. And Lord, we will receive your love when condemnation starts to flood our heart. But we do need the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It brings people to salvation, and it brings people to higher ground once they are saved, once they do know you, Jesus. We welcome conviction. We welcome discipline. We welcome correction, Lord. And we say, yes, we need it. We live with ourselves behind the scenes. We know we need it. No more faking. No more lying to ourselves or to others, God. Let's be real. We need to change. We need to be more like Jesus. We need to carry his heart everywhere we go. And especially to those in this body. Especially to stand up for those in this body when they're being torn down by others. Jesus, that's so important. Loyalty. Loyalty. It's not loyalty that is for people that don't deserve it. If we're a saint because we've received Jesus, there's certain loyalty that's deserved if we go after his heart. Loyalty to one another. That when we see the holes in each other, we're willing to let God work on those holes. And not judge to the point that the person is so discouraged. God, help us as we sharpen one another. Sparks often fly, God. But I'd rather see sparks flying than no sharpening going on. And you would too. God, let there be more sharpening. More weekends like this weekend. Starting with First Friday and all the things that get sharpened in our lives as we try to share Jesus with someone else, and all the fears come and all the difficulties, and we make excuses not to go, and all of that, God, root it out of us, mature us up, and then into the weekend where it's about missions, and even this afternoon about missions. Well, I'm not going on a mission. I don't need to show up. Jesus, we need to support one another, lift up one another. God, help us take our place and our responsibility. Hypocrisy, go. Humility, come. because of the power of the Holy Spirit, but we take action. We make commitments. We get rid of oaths that are made but aren't you. We get rid of korban, things we've held and said, this is really for God. I'm not going to check with him whether he thinks so or not. Lord, we get rid of that. So that we truly can be hypocrites, being healed by the Holy Spirit, not being healed by our little decisions. Well, yeah, I'll do that a little better. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you, Word of God. We need you, Jesus, in all your 700 names and titles activated inside of us, God, to change. Lord, may we present that Jesus to the world, the one that's worthy of us, worthy of our entire life, not just sections of our life, not just certain hours of our life, but our whole life, all of it, to the maximum. God, make it true in us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And come to the picnic. Seems kind of funny after a message like this. And come to the picnic.